So today we're going to conclude our message series called Making Change. Making Change. Sometimes when you remember when we used to use this thing called cash? Remember that? It would like be a one on it or a five or a ten. And now we just swipe and punch in a number. When we used to use cash all the time, and some of you are old school, you're like, I don't leave home without a $100 bill. And God bless you, all right? But you might you might go back then, you go in somewhere, and the cashier might be having a little bit of trouble making change. They're like, okay. And then they're like, and you know they got it wrong. And you're like, I know it's just a nickel, but you owe me another nickel. You know, I need you to help me out. That's what making change is all about. Some of us have a hard time with money. Some of us have a hard time with money. And so this message series has just been very simply about helping us understand, what does the Bible say about money? What am I supposed to do with money? And the Bible talks a lot about money, a lot about money. And so if we recognize that God did have a plan for our jobs, God does have a plan for our money, God does have a plan for our future, God does care about how we spend our money and what we do with it, and if we have money or if we don't have money, He cares about all of that. And we recognize that His word speaks to it, then we can change what needs to be changed so that we can grow, so that we can become all that God wants us to be. God wants us to surrender every area of our life to Him. All right? Sometimes we come to God and we've got one area that's really the problem, right? Okay, we've got some real challenges in one area where we can't seem to overcome it. And that's the area we come and we turn that over to God, and He helps us with it. And we start growing and we get other people involved and our life changes. But God wants to be Lord in every area of our lives, not just the area that we thought was a problem. He wants to change us and develop us. And I want to say this, God is always working in your life and my life. God, there's never a time when God is not working. He is always working in your life and in my life. He's working in your family. He's working in your bank account. He's working in your health. He's always working. And our job as believers is very simply to say, Lord, what are you doing? Let me do what you're doing. Let me go where you're going. We sometimes got plans and we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to make our own way in the world. And God is just saying, I got a plan. All you got to do is ask. And so that's what this message series is all about. So I want to start with this one statement. A budget, that evil word, the B word, right? A budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. You ever get to the end of the month and you look at your spouse and you go, I don't even know what happened. What did you buy? Because it's always their fault, you know? It's never your fault. A budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. A budget has three main components: spending, giving, and saving. If we're going to go look at Scripture and what does God say, then we got to say, Lord, what do you want us to do in these three areas of our life? He is asking us to put money into these three areas. Now, there are going to be different amounts, different ratios, but these are the things that God is asking us to do. So I want to unpack this just a little bit and help us to overcome. There's one big obstacle to these three things that I hope we can start our journey today in overcoming. Let's start with the idea of giving. Let's move this around. Giving, let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. The Bible says this: three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place He will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So He said, there's going to be a few times a year that I need you to show up for these events, these festivals, these feasts, and we're going to celebrate certain things, we're going to worship certain ways, and God lays it out. Go back and read Deuteronomy later. But he said, look, do not show up empty-handed. When you come, make sure you have something to give. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. It would be like God saying, okay, give this percentage of your income back to God. He doesn't say, all right, everybody in the room, you're giving $1,000. Some people in this room would go, I got to find a new church. I don't even have $1,000. I don't even know where to get $1,000. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to all bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. If he blessed you with $100,000, then you're going to give in proportion to that. If he's given you $100, then we're going to give in proportion to that. I love the giving bucket because when you surrender the giving bucket of your life to God, everything else just starts falling in place. It's the hardest area to surrender. Finances. Come on now, you know I'm right. Finances is so difficult to surrender it to God. So when we say, I'm going to give, we can't be like the guy I heard about years ago. He had a job making $100 a week, and he learned about the idea of giving and tithing in his local church. And he said, I'm going to start giving $10 a week. That'd be 10%. That's a tithe. I'm gonna give $10 a week to God. And then God started to bless him, and he ended up with a job making $1,000 a week. And then he realized, I'm going to have to give $100 a week. That's a lot of money. So he goes to his pastor and he said, Pastor, that's just a lot of money. I just can't get my head around giving $100 a week to God. And the pastor said, no problem, man. Let's just pray about it. And he said, Dear God, please give this young man his $100 a week job back real quick. And the young man said, No, wait. Well, he said, we can easily get you back to $10, right? It's all in proportion to where we are and what God is doing and how God is blessing us. I love the story about the father who gave his little girl $2. And he said, one of them is for you to spend at the candy store and one of them is God's and you give it to God. And on the way, she fell down and one of the dollars slipped into the storm drain of the street. And she looked up to heaven and she said, Lord, I'm sorry about your dollar. Sometimes we forget about the giving bucket. It's a part of what God tells us to do. So if we get paid, he wants us to put something in the giving bucket every time we get paid. Now, we talked about tithing last week. Go back and listen to that one later. He wants us to put something every time we get paid. Every time we are financially blessed, he wants us to deal with these three buckets. So he wants us to put something in the giving bucket. And then there's the saving bucket. Where is it at? There it is. There's the saving bucket. Now, this one's not any fun either. We don't like the saving bucket any more than we like the giving bucket when we first start. The people who love the saving bucket are the people who have learned about it and been doing it for a long time. When you start it, you feel like this is a waste of time. But look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. When we gain little by little and we just stash it away, we just handle it the way God says, we just put some more in the bucket, just a little more savings every week, every month, however we get paid, whenever we get financially blessed, we just add a little more to it, then God can use it. Look at what Proverbs 21:20 says. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Now, listen, I don't want anybody to feel like they're being called a fool this morning, but let's talk about this for a minute. God said this. I didn't say it, all right? So we'll take this up with him later. Wise people store up choice food and olive oil. They store up things that have value in their life. But fools gulp theirs down. Don't raise your hand. Don't smile. How many times have you gotten a raise and you're like, man, now we can get Netflix. Now we can get a better car. Now we gulp it down so fast. I'm going to get a $100 raise. Gulp, 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 gulp. And it's gone. And we wonder why we don't have any money. He wants us to put something in that saving bucket. It's called deferred gratification. We live in a culture, in a society that says you should get what you want when you want it. You shouldn't have to wait. We've talked about this before. You know, we hate waiting in line. It feels like we're being done wrong. Our civil rights have been violated if we have to wait in line at McDonald's for too long. And if we get up there and they say they're out of milkshakes, we're just like, are you kidding me? Been here all day and all I wanted was a milkshake. And because it was so self-centered. And the Bible is teaching us here about deferred gratification. What if I wait on it? What if I save instead of spending it? What if I put it away in the bucket it belongs in so that when I need a new set of tires, you ever had that panic moment? When the guy at the thing, you get your a tire fixed and he says, man, you really need some new tires. And you're like, how much is that going to cost? And he says, $9 million. What am I going to do? I mean, I've heard that before. It's going to cost about $750. And I heard $9 million. I was like, I don't have $750. What am I going to do? I have bought a lot of used tires in my life. Listen, that's legitimate. All right, it's okay. I have said to the guy many times, do you have that size tire back there in that stack somewhere that I can get for about 20 bucks? It's okay. It's okay if you do that. But if you got some money put back and saved, that's not a problem. Then when the $750 tires come along, you go, we got it. No panic, no anxiety, no fear, no worry. I got it. But I had to delay gratification. Listen, I can have 300 cups of Starbucks or I can have a new set of tires. I just have to do it slowly. I just got to, he says it, if you put it away little by little, you'll make it grow. What does it look like for our money to grow? I'm going to give you one. I love this stuff. I'm just going to give you one, okay? If a 25-year-old, some of you are like, I'm way past that. Well, just live with it, all right? If you are 25 years old and you said, I'm going to put $100 a month in a retirement account, in a savings account, whatever, however you choose, at 10%, at 75 years old, you'll have $1.7 million. You'll be a millionaire for 100 bucks a month. You're wasting more than that at Popeyes. I just did that. You see me do that when I did it? $100 a month makes you a millionaire. Now if you wait till you're 50 to start that, it's going to be more like $300,000 or $400,000. It's not going to be $1.7 million. So the key is this: you got to start now. Whatever age you are, whatever's going on in our life, we got to start somewhere. You say, "Well, I can't save $100." Okay, save $5. Save $5 a week, $5 a month. What? Something. Just give God something. You got to put something in the bucket. If you don't put something in the bucket, it's going to always be empty. Can I say that again? If you don't put something in the bucket, it will always be empty. God wants you to put something in the bucket. Now, the last one is spending. And don't, before you get excited about this one, spending is making house payments and car payments and groceries and all that stuff. All right. Now, a part of this one is the Starbucks. I mean, who doesn't love a pumpkin spice latte? Come on. You know? So everybody gets it. There, you got to save the luxuries to the end. You got to fill the bucket. You got to pay the bills. You got to handle the stuff that needs to be handled. So you're starting with giving and your savings and spending. Now look at what the Bible says about spending. 1 Timothy 5:8. Everyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He said, when you're not spending your money properly, you're going to have to put money in the spending bucket. Somebody's got to buy groceries. Somebody's got to make the car payment. Somebody's got to take care of the things that need to be taken care of. Because when you don't do that, he says, you're worse than somebody who doesn't even believe in Jesus. All right? It's like you don't even have a relationship with God. I know this one hurts. Romans 13:7, it says this: give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Let's pause there for a minute. I hate that one. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, If you owe respect, then pay respect. If you owe honor, then pay honor. It's not just about money. It's a lifestyle of paying what we should pay and giving what we should give. When we put the right amount in the spending bucket, then at the end of the month, we feel good about life. But when we don't put the right amount in the spending bucket, we're worried at the end of the month because the first of the month is coming with all those new bills. Then we don't know what we're going to do. Sometimes we got to lower our outside spending so that the amount we have to put in the spending bucket can cover the outside costs. Sometimes we have to make hard choices. Everybody understands the electric bill's coming, the car payment's coming, the groceries are going to have to be bought, all of that. That's spending. So we've got giving, the giving bucket, the saving bucket, and the spending bucket. But we operate out of these three buckets in our daily life. Now, here's the thing that can cause you to not be able, cause us to not be able to fill up the buckets the way we should. And it's a four-letter word, debt. Debt is a nasty, vicious enemy to your budget and my budget. When we owe money on credit cards, department store credit cards, car loans, payday loans, houses we can't afford, apartments we can't afford, and we owe money, it slows us down from being able to do what God has called us to do. The quickest way to put the lid on a bucket so that you can't put the right amount in savings and you can't put the right amount giving, good Lord. And you can't put the right amount in there because debt becomes the lid. I can't get it in there anymore because I don't have it. And then my savings is never going to grow because it's got a lid on it. I'm paying big debt payments. I got too much on the credit card, so I'll never be able to save as long as I have that debt. When we put the lid on it and we don't allow ourselves to put more in, then it creates all kinds of problems in our life, all kinds of stress, anxiety. Debt is a problem. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the statistics, but we have an overwhelming amount of debt in the United States. We are overcome with debt, and it has to do with we want what we want when we want it. We hate waiting on stuff. We don't want to wait, so we get debt. That way we don't have to. So here's the question. What does the Bible say? What does God think about debt? Now, we're not going to take a hard line on this one way or the other, okay? We're just going to say, what does the Bible point us to, all right? Some people would say, never have one penny of debt in all of your life. And some people would say, well, debt allows you the leverage that you can invest in something, like a house. So what does the Bible say? The Bible really shows us that sometimes borrowing works, all right? In 2 Corinthians, the widow was encouraged to borrow many vessels to have more oil to sell to repay the loan her husband had when he died. They were about to take her children. And the prophet of God said, go out and borrow some vessels, and then God miraculously filled them up with oil. Another place, 2 Kings chapter 6, one of the sons of the prophets borrowed an axe. So there is some room for borrowing. But these examples really suggest to us that borrowing is limited to providing for needs. Providing for needs, all right? That we are able to handle it, okay? There might be a time when it's okay. If you say, I want to go buy a house, then obviously from this we can believe that God would use that in our lives. The problem we run into is when we get debt we can't handle, when it's more than we can handle. So I want to share three things with you. God expects us to pay our debts. Now this one's hard, okay? But the Bible talks about making a vow. If I make a vow to you that I will repay this, then that vow is important. The Bible actually says, don't make a vow. It's better to not make a vow than to make it and break it. Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Let no debt remain outstanding. It gives us a very clear picture. We are supposed to pay what we owe. If we have debt, we have to pay that. All right? Psalm 37 says, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. You know, there's an old saying, the best way to help your friend lose their memory is to loan them money. I thought I paid you that back. The Bible is very plain about co-signing loans. I mean, it doesn't really give us any wiggle room. Don't be co-signing with people. All right, it's what it says. If you want to just give them the money, give them the money. But don't be co-signing. The wicked borrow and never repay. This is important. If we want God's blessings on all the buckets of our life, then we have to do this thing God's way. So when we have debt, we're supposed to pay it. Now listen, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But we want God's blessing and we're going to trust God in that. Here's the second thing about debt. Debt leads to a loss of freedom. Don't raise your hand on this one, but how many of us have experienced this? The loss of freedom. There's so much on the credit card, or the car payment is so big that we can't even breathe. We don't have freedom to go out and eat. We don't have freedom to do anything. We don't have freedom to fill the buckets up the way they need to be filled up, because we're struggling so much with debt. Look at what Proverbs 22 says. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, he owns you. The person who loaned you the money owns a portion of your life at that point. I can't do anything else with this because it belongs to them. I just got to get them paid back. It's a tough one to not be able to do the things that we want to do because we have so much debt. It's a great story about Bubba. He won $1 million on a lottery ticket. And he was thinking about what he was going to do with his money. And so Leroy, his buddy, asked him, what are you going to do with the money? And Bubba said, I'm probably going to pay off my credit cards. And Leroy said, what about the rest of it? And Bubba said, well, I guess they'll have to wait till another day. If you didn't get it, think about it. He had more than $1 million in debt in credit cards, and they're just going to have to wait. How many of us have so much that it's so big that many times God is trying to lead us and he's trying to guide us, but we are so stuck where we are that we can't follow him? Where God may, you may have that nudge of the Spirit to give somebody some money. You might say, look at them and you think they really need some help, and I really want to bless them. I really want to help them. I really want to leave a big tip. I really want to just give this to somebody, and then you realize I can't. The credit card's due tomorrow and it's going to be more than I have anyway. And so it takes away our freedom. Here's the third one. God should be our first option, not debt. If the first thing I think about in paying the bills when I don't have the money, I think, okay, put it on the Visa. I'm probably circumventing what God is trying to do in my life. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Visa is my provider. Nowhere. But it does say this, Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, somebody ought to latch on to that one right now. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, to the riches of his glory. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we seek him first, he said, all that stuff we need will be added to us. It's our job, very simply, to look to God first, to say, Lord, how do you want to handle this? What do you want to do? And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Getting out of debt is hard work. You talk about deferred gratification. This is the ultimate. When I say I'm going to stop living the way I've been living and I'm going to move out of this cycle of debt, So I want to share 10 things with you real quick. They're all going to all be on the screen. You can just pull out your phone and snap a picture of them. If you want to eliminate debt, here's some possible ways to save a $1,000 emergency fund. Because the reason we run out there and put things on the credit card is because we don't have the money in the bank to pay for it. When the tire goes out, when the refrigerator falls apart, we have to put it on the credit card because we don't have the money, and it's got to be fixed on the spot. So save $1,000. I get it. I get it. Some people are saying, are you kidding me? $1,000? I don't even have $12. It's all right. You start where you are, you use what you have, and you do what you can. But that's a first step in this journey. Use the debt snowball. A debt snowball goes like this. If you have a credit card that costs $200 a month, and you got a car that costs $400 a month, and you got that department store credit card, you know, where you needed all those new clothes for $80 a month, and you put all that together, and you got one payment of $680 a month. And so what you do is you start working on the smallest debt first, and like a snowball rolling down a hill, the amount that you're able to put back into that every month, it gets bigger and bigger. So let's say you pay off the department store credit card first, and then you can take that $80 and put it over here with the $200 on the credit card, and now you have $280 that you're making on the payment to the credit card. And then when you get that paid off, then you take that $280 and you put it with the $400 on the car payment. Now you have $680 going to the car payment every month. It's just a snowball. You take all your debts. You put them into one. You think of them as one big payment, and you just start paying, and you don't stop. Because what happens is, many times, we think of debt like we get it paid off. We get the car paid off, and we're like, all right, we got $300 a month. We can go buy something new and borrow some more money. Don't do that. Don't do that if you're trying to eliminate debt. Number three, commit all extra money to debt. You ever get a bonus at work, and you're like, I can't believe I got $500. Let's go party. Let's go out and eat. If I'm trying to get out of debt, don't even act like you got any extra money. Don't even tell anybody you got any extra money. All right, just put it on your debt. Number four, pay more than the minimum payment. If you make the minimum payment on your credit card, it's going to take 17 years to pay it off. That's the truth. 17 years to pay off a credit card on a minimum payment. All right, number five, budget. We've talked about it a million times. Number six, sell stuff you don't need. What do you got laying around the house that you could sell? What is it that it's just in the way? Let me just get rid of it. Well, I'm only going to get $12 for it. Well, look at this, $12 that you won't owe somebody else. All right, start selling stuff you don't need. You may say, I don't need this car. I don't even need, let me just sell this car right now and get out from under this payment. You might say, well, it's worth more than I can get. You get caught up in all those facts and figures and it paralyzes you. It might be, so you got to say, let me sell this so that I can buy a better one later. Number seven, stop overspending. We hate that one, but it's okay. Stop overspending. Number eight, seek advice. Find somebody who's been there and done that, all right, and let them help you. Don't think you got to figure it out all on your own. Number nine, earn some extra money. There's so many ways now. Sell stuff on Marketplace, whatever, you figure it out. Find a way to make some extra money. Maybe you pick up an extra shift at work, and then you just put that money toward your debt. And number 10, pray. Come on, pray. Don't try to do this by yourself. Ask God for his help. God loves forgiving debt. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that our debts could be forgiven. It was bigger than we could handle. Amen? So what happened was, when he forgave our debts, because we were sinners and we needed Christ, when he forgave our debt, he took the lid off of our life so he could put more blessings into our life. Amen? So when you and I are going about our lives and we got so much debt that we can't even bless ourselves, we can't even take care of our own responsibilities, then we're doing it the wrong way. God wants us to release that stuff. We probably bought it because we were being selfish, because we were wanting it in the moment, and it might be that we need to let go of it. And we need to say, Lord, I want your help. I'm tired. I'm tired of being strapped with debt. I want to be set free. I want to be walking in freedom. How would it feel? How would it feel in your life and mine if we were debt free? How much money? Go home today and figure it up. How much are we paying in debt payments every month? And how much would go back into our budget? And how much stress would that take off of our marriage? and our families and our home life if we had that money back in our budget. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time, and we got to work the plan. We got to stick with it. We got to make sure that we let God help us, but He will help us, and He will work in our lives. He will work in our lives. We said it earlier. If He sets you free, you're free indeed. So you start from a place of prayer. Let's get God involved in this. Let's let God speak to us in this. And Matthew 7:7 is our last scripture for the morning. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask and it will be given to you. What if, I'm going to ask the band to come on up. What if we said, God, I am tired of being in debt. I want to be able to put money in the giving bucket. I want to be able to put money in the saving bucket. I want to be able to put money in the spending bucket. I can't, Lord. I can't. But I want to be able to. What if we said, Lord, I'm asking you to help me get out of debt, to get out of debt so that I can be the man or the woman of God that you've called me to be, so that I can do this the way you've called me to do it. If God were to ask you to do something right now, is there too much debt? Have you accumulated too much debt to be able to follow Him and obey Him? If God told me or told you to go and do something, and the thing that's holding us back is debt, then we're in bondage. If it's keeping us from obeying God, we're in bondage. God is all about setting people that are in bondage free. He is all about changing our life. What if we said, ask? I'm going to ask, and I'm going to trust God that it'll be given to me. I want you to stand with me. God has a funny way of working in our lives. We read the scripture that said easy money just slips away, you know. We don't appreciate it. But when we have to save it little by little, we value it. It means something to us. When our kids were little and we would go on vacation, and the entire vacation, they would say, can we buy? Can we buy? Can we buy this? Can we buy that? Can we? And the whole vacation was me saying, no, 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 no. And an occasional, yes, no, no, yes. And I felt terrible. We'd get home from vacation. And I'm like, I said no more than I said yes. And then we, you know, Jody and I always laugh and we say, we weren't the greatest parents. We've learned along the way, just like everybody else, all right? But one thing we did that really worked, we started when they got old enough to handle it. When we would head out on vacation, we would say, here's $50. And we would act like it was an enormous amount of money. Here's $50, and you can spend it on anything you want while you're on vacation. You don't even have to ask. But when the $50 is gone, you can't buy anything else. And so we would watch them. They'd be over there like, okay, I don't know, man. I got 3 more days. I can't spend anything today. I'm not going to buy it today. Because it was valuable. It was valuable. If we value what God has given us, then He will help us. He will help us. To me, this morning, it's painful, all right? I'm not going to lie to you. This whole message is painful. But if we were to choose to follow God in this journey of being debt-free, imagine what we could give. Imagine what we could save. Imagine what we could spend on and give away and serve people and make a difference in our family's life if we could get rid of this debt thing. It's bigger than you and it's bigger than me, but it's not bigger than God. So we're going to take just a minute and we're just going to surrender it to the Lord and say, God, I just want you to have your way. Father, we thank you right now for all of your blessings on us, God. Lord, you've answered. You've helped us. You've done so many good things. But Lord, very specifically this morning, Lord, for those that don't know you and don't have a relationship with you, most importantly, Lord, we're asking you to touch their heart and draw them close to you, Lord. Help them to admit that they've sinned and believe in you and confess you as Lord and start their journey with you. Help them just to surrender and let you be the Savior of their life. But then, Lord, for those that are that are bothered with debt. And Lord, it may have not even been their fault. It may have been emergencies in life that have put us in the situations we're in. But Lord, you are still Lord, even in the emergencies. You still want to provide, even in the moments when it's beyond our control. God, you are still in charge. And Lord, we want to surrender it to you right now, God. And there are people in this room right now, some of us, Lord, that the debt can be retired in a couple of months. And there are others, it's going to take a couple of years. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to delay that gratification, that you would help us to walk in self-discipline and the work of the Spirit in our lives, Lord, that we would just surrender to you and let you do your work so that we can be all that you've called us to be, and we don't have to live in bondage for the rest of our lives. Whether our families taught us to live in bondage or not, God, but we can start, we can break this cycle and we can start something new. And Lord, we just ask you to help us. We trust you today. We know you love us. We know you have a plan for us, and we pray that your will would be done. God, we want to walk in freedom. We want to walk in freedom in every area of our life. God, we want to be free from substances, and we want to be free financially, God. We want to walk in freedom every single day, where we are not overcome with fear and anxiety and worry, that we are free to walk in the grace and the peace and the contentment of God. Lord, we trust you today. And we pray, Lord, that we would be able to celebrate the testimonies of people who said, I'm going to walk this journey of freedom out. I'm going to walk this journey. It's going to be painful, but I'm going to do it because it's the right thing for my family. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing for God. I'm going to do it because I have a calling to be what you've called me to be. Lord, I ask you to help us today. Lord, we need your help. We cannot do this on our own. Our culture has told us this is okay. Your word tells us it is not okay. You want us to walk in freedom. And we thank you, God. We ask you for your help. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Sometimes the people who are in financial bondage look down at the people who are in alcohol bondage. But it all affects our life. God wants us to be free, and we might have to make some radical decisions to walk in freedom. And I believe God's going to help us do that. Amen. Let's give him one more praise. Amen. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you right now, God. Amen. 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 Man, I don't know how to end this. All right. I just want to challenge you. Go home, make a budget. If you don't know how to make a budget, Frank, raise your hand. I did not ask Frank if this was okay, but call Frank and he will help you. He will help you make a budget. Amen. Freedom, 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 freedom. It's about choices. I always tell my kids, you always have choices. You always have choices. This may be that time to exercise those choices and start walking in freedom. Amen. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. God, help us to fill the buckets the right way, handle our money the right way, and we ask once again for your help in walking in freedom, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.